You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
The 2025 political year, just 6 weeks in, has been nothing short of extraordinary, led, of course, by US President Donald Trump, but also Germany, Britain, South Korea, Canada and others have all chipped in to have their say. South Africa hasn't been quiet either, with the postponed budget, but also the country hasn't escaped the attention of Trump. Let's talk about politics with Hannes van den Berg, head of SA Equity and Multi-Asset at 91 in Cape Town. Before we get into the semantics of what I've just introduced, Hannes, how much of a distraction is politics to you? Because you have a very well-defined investment process at 91. So do you look at these things and say, oh my goodness, he's opened his mouth again, whoever it may be?
That's an interesting question, Lindsay. We try not to position our portfolios for certain political outcomes. I mean, we've learned hard lessons in the past where nobody really thought Brexit was going to happen, and then it did happen. In the first time around, nobody thought Mr. Trump would win the election, and he did. People thought that if he was to win the election, it would be negative for markets, and it ended up being very positive for markets. The markets had quite a long, risk assets had quite a nice rally post the first time election victory from Mr. Trump. So we try and read the headlines and try and understand what it means for the bottom-up fundamentals. So we try and convert into what policy changes might potentially come from it and what sentiment changes might come from it. And it's important to understand the investor behavior that then gets triggered by that. But we try to stick to the fundamentals and the price you pay for those fundamentals and position the portfolio not for short-term volatility, but for medium and long-term outcomes.
Okay, very well said. It's almost as though we could end the conversation now, but we won't do, of course, because Mr. Trump, the first thing he did, and he's made no bones about the fact that he doesn't particularly like the continent of Africa. He said some nasty things about it before, and he has said because of the land expropriation bill, he's going to cut all funding to South Africa, and of course, AGOA is under threat as well. What is your interpretation of what he said and what he's doing, and will it be followed through on?
Now, we try to understand what's behind it and also obviously try and understand what potential outcomes that can lead to. So I'm not sure if it is Mr. Trump's approach towards BRICS. He had the Indian Prime Minister in the Oval Office, seems to be talking to the Russians about finding a solution for the Ukraine war. He seems to have taken a softer approach than maybe we all feared coming into this year towards China. And he decided to pick on another one of the BRICS members. Maybe it's that. Maybe it's he's playing golf with people in Florida, and they are telling him all sorts of things about South Africa. And we know that Mr. Elon Musk is also quite close to the president, and he's not enjoying the fact that Starlink is not getting an opportunity in South Africa due to some of our regulatory and commercial requirements. So I'm not exactly sure why. If you had to ask me what can be the potential outcomes, look, I don't think, this is just my view, I don't think it's the NHI bill or the Bella Act or the land expropriation. These things, we've been sort of hearing these headlines over the last 12 months. I think what sits behind it is more our approach towards foreign policy and our stance, the way in which we play that. I don't think we're playing that well, and that is annoying Mr. Trump because he's got all sorts of battles that he wants to pick with some of those on the other side. The risk for us, unfortunately, is I think for all fair purposes, AGOA is probably gone. I think we can draw a line through that. The good side about the conversation, or the positive around it, is in our overall exports, it's only 2.5% of our exports that go to the US and potentially gets affected by that. So most of them being manufactured vehicles and components and agricultural products. So the farmers and those out there won't enjoy it. But I think for all practical purposes, the AGOA agreement is not going to be renewed. And now we have to figure out what does that mean, and we have to figure out where do those products potentially go. And also, more importantly, or the shorter-term impact, is the funding that was provided for antiretroviral research and deployment, or the sort of development and the funding that we received from the U.S. for that. That was 17% of South Africa's HIV/AIDS program. So that's a significant number that we need to fill.
And sorry to interrupt you, Hannes, but that USAIDS cancellation, which is essentially what it is from the Trump administration, directly affects South Africa in terms of what you've just said about antiretrovirals as well, which is terribly important, of course.
Yes, and there's all sorts of questions around where does that all get sort of who fills that gap? Does government contribute something? And I'm sure there will be public and private partnerships, or do we go to another foreign partner or aid and potentially ask for funding for that?
How nimble is South Africa in terms of that 2.5% that you just spoke about? Only 2.5%, you said, was the exports that we have to the United States of America. How easy will it be to say to, I don't know, China or Europe or Brazil or wherever it is, and say, okay, we've got now this spare capacity. Would you like to take it up?
Yeah, that's a good question, and it goes to when I look at what Mr. Trump is trying to do, I almost categorize it into three buckets. The first one is he spoke a lot about the movement of people. That's why he's got an issue with immigration, and he spoke about the mass deportation that's going to take place, and that's why that's bucket number one with regards to the movement of people. The second part, which caught me slightly by surprise, is he's also getting involved in the flow of money. He's quite sort of asking questions around who's invested where, and should we sanction with certain lists, and Tencent felt the brunt of that in January. And then it's the component which you're referring to now, which is this tariff and trade war, which essentially is a tax. You imported a certain product and now it's putting 10 or 25% what's called tariffs, but you can argue it's like a tax that gets levied on the import or export of a product. So The question about tariffs in general, and coming back to your question about the 2.5% that we export to the US and have got the AGOA agreement on is where do those products now go? Do they find a different geography that they go to? Does the supplier absorb the tariff or the consequences of these taxes that gets applied to the products and therefore lowers the price and just absorb it into a lower margin and the trade or the volume flow continues? Or is there a different way in which this gets negotiated or settled? Now, Mr. Trump is quite transactional. So what we've seen is he announces things and he throws headlines out and then he walks it back a few days later. I mean, every 24 hours we hear that it gets postponed for another month or he's open to do discussions and negotiations. So, you know, there are various different ways in which this can play out. It might just be a lot of headlines and it settles at a much lower or a sort of more acceptable level. These products can go to different places or the prices can just get adjusted and the volumes keeps going where they're going.
How important is the Trump administration and the United States of America to South Africa? They've dismissed the country. And that's my view. Again, not the 91 view. I think he's just very casually just dismissed South Africa. He had a look at the countries that he's giving money to and he says, no, that's it. And he hasn't followed up on it. As you said, he keeps on going back and forth with tariffs with Mexico and China and Canada, etc. But South Africa, to me, has been shunted aside. How important is it? And as I've said before, how nimble is the country to adapt to that dismissal?
No, this is quite significant. I mean, this is, remember, America is the biggest economy in the world. Second biggest is China, and then we go to all the others. So this is the biggest economy in the world, and that economy is 70% driven by the U.S. consumer, 70% of the economy is services and 30% manufacturing. So whatever the rest of the world produces, you want to get that to where all those U.S. consumers sit. And we've got resources that make their way into other geographies and stuff gets manufactured, and it ends up in the U.S. or in Europe, other parts of the world. So this is probably one of the most important presidents in the world and one of the biggest economy in the world. So this is significant not only for South Africa but for the whole world. What we need to understand is all these headlines probably shouldn't be blown out of proportion. We must do the numbers and understand what the actual impact on GDP. I mean, we talk about 2.5% of exports from South Africa, but if you work this back into what that is a percentage of South African GDP, it's just around 1% of South Africa's GDP that gets affected by these tariffs and exports to the US. So can we export that to other places? Can we find other partners who pick it up? And this did happen in Mr. Trump's first term, by the way. The Chinese exports to the US is around about 60% of what it was few years ago. So the Chinese have also lowered their exports to the US and those exports are going into other parts of the world. So this time around, the tariff impact on China is probably less than we saw in 2018. But for South Africa, it's, I mean, we're a small open economy, and these headlines create volatility, and we haven't even spoken about how this affects confidence. And I'm pretty sure it's affecting investors and people who've got their savings money invested in world markets nervous, because confidence levels gets affected for South Africans, for Americans, and you can see them in other parts of the world as well. So we need to keep our cool mind here and run the numbers and understand that the short-term volatility probably creates mispriced opportunities, because growth globally is still okay. It's around trend growth, and with interest rates being reduced and inflation being lower, so therefore in real terms, consumers have got more money in their wallets, and the oil price being lower, we're actually quite constructive on the second half of 2025. We just need to get through these first few months, and then growth and earnings forecasts for South African and global companies look quite strong to us.
And as we end this, you're head of SA Equity and Multi-Asset at 91 in Cape Town. How are you approaching your strategy now? Have you sort of changed it a little bit because of the extraordinary volatility in global politics? Are you saying, no, we're sticking to our guns? And as you quite rightly said in your last sentence, we'll just get through the first few months and then see what happens afterwards.
Yeah, we haven't really spoken about how the Chinese are potentially going to react to these tariffs that have been introduced, 10% additional tariffs on the Chinese side. They're standing ready to counter, but also to support their economy. They've just confirmed a commitment to 5% GDP growth for the year. We've had interesting news out of Europe recently, post the German election, some fiscal support coming in for probably the biggest economy in Europe, being the German economy. That's quite constructive. So in other parts of the world, It's looking quite interesting. And then the US growth, as I said, remains strong. So we still quite like equities. In our multi-asset products, global as well as South African equities, are our preferred asset class. We don't own any global bonds because central banks have told us that inflation is under control. It's making its way back to targets. Yes, they just want to see in the short term how these tariffs play out and the impact that will potentially have on inflation. So they're just taking a bit of a cautious pause approach. But we think in the second half of the year, we can still see one or two interest rate cuts. Also in South Africa, potentially another interest rate cut. And that creates a good environment for risk assets. We quite like South African bonds as our second preferred asset class. So we've still got our money invested in risk assets, and we make our way through these markets. Always like to climb the wall of worry, these sort of short-term headlines and volatility, because the underlying fundamentals still look quite good for equities, and therefore we stay invested.
Very good, Hannes. Thanks so much for your fascinating insight. Hannes van den Berg is head of SA Equity and Multi-Asset at 91 in Cape Town. The views and opinions expressed in these podcasts are those of Lindsay Williams and various contributors and do not reflect the policy, position, or opinion of any other agency, organization, employer, or company associated with strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Assumptions made on the analyses are not reflective of the position of any other entity other than the speaker or the author. And since we are critically thinking human beings, these views are always subject to change, revision, and rethinking at any time. Please do not hold us to them in perpetuity.